just for a few minutes. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 100. This is a familiar psalm. I remember when I was 5 years old, and I have to confess I memorized this when I was sitting in church. I should have been listening probably, but I remember turning to my mom and saying, I've got it. Because I had to memorize it for school, kindergarten. Psalm 100 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Know ye, come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for these testimonies of Scripture tonight. Thank you as we read your word, you affirm to us over and over again who you are, that you are our help, our strength, our refuge, our just many things that you do on our behalf. Father, we thank you. Father, tonight as we look at this passage for just a few minutes, help us to understand even more about you. Help us to have a greater love for you, a greater desire to serve you, to praise you, to thank you. Pray that you would be honored and glorified through what is said in these next few minutes and in our lives as we go through this week. In Jesus' name, amen. As we read a passage like this, we realize that praise and thanksgiving are closely related. We would not say that they're exactly the same thing, but they go hand in hand. First of all, what is praise? Praise is to kneel as in worship, to bless God as an act of adoration, to speak well of, to applaud, to exalt, to give thank offering, to attribute honor. Whereas thanksgiving is rejoicing or an acclamation. If we praise someone, we show them honor. We speak well of them. We emphasize their character or their accomplishments. And if we give thanksgiving, it's to show gratitude for something that benefit that we have received from them. I'd like to take this passage and just understand what it's saying about our praise and thanksgiving to God. And specifically, how should we praise him, or how do we show praise to him? First verse says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." You know, we can show praise to God by making a joyful noise. Interestingly, the word for noise here is a shout for joy. It figuratively means splitting the ears with sound. It's not praise the Lord. It's praise the Lord for what he's done. An illustration of this would be at Joshua 6:16, when Joshua and the Israelites surrounded the city of Jericho, and they walked around that city so many times. It says in the end of that verse, it says when they came to the last time, Joshua says, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. It's a done deal. Shout, praise the Lord." And they shouted, and the city fell. In Judges chapter 7, 19 and 20, when Gideon took his army of 300 men to defeat the Midianites, and all he had was a pitcher with a lamp inside and a trumpet, each man had. Not very good weapons as we would think. But what does he say? He says, "Do as I do," and they go and they come around the Midianites, they surround their camp. He breaks the pitcher, the lights shine, and he blows a trumpet and says, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." It wasn't like, "Hey, we're here." It says, "God has given us the army." And they praise the Lord. They made a joyful noise. When we sing hymns, we sing praises to God, and we should not be afraid to sing out. And just because we're a small handful of people here doesn't mean we can't fill this place with song and make this place just ring with praise to God. And it says in the end of that verse, "all ye lands." Why does it say "all ye lands"? Because it's not just for the Jews. It was for the Jews. It was for the Gentiles, all of them, because God reaches out to everyone. God's message is for everyone. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Verse 2 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." Our service for God ought to reflect our praise to him. Consider the fact that the God of the universe provides a way for us to be reconciled to him, but then he gives us the opportunity to serve him out of gratitude for what he has done for us. What an opportunity. Matthew 11, verse 30 says, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. See, our old master was cruel and hateful. The burden that we carried when we served sin was heavy and difficult. But our service for God brings gladness because he is a kind and a loving master. When we serve our master, we ought to do it with a heart full of singing because of the joy that we have. If our service for God becomes dull and boring and burdensome, then we need to change our focus from the work back to God and say, God, look what you've done. I thank you for what you've done to me. I serve you willingly. I serve you lovingly. We have the picture here of a servant in this verse who comes to his master's presence with a heart of gladness and with a song in his heart. Why? Because his master has saved him from a sentence of death. A master has saved him from a perilous life and has made him a partaker of an eternal inheritance. Every one of us has trusted Christ as that way. He has saved us from that sentence of death and he has given us an eternal inheritance. And there is nothing that this servant will ever need again. So he serves joyfully. So he served the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. And then it says in verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. So we show praise to God by acknowledging who he is. Hebrews 11, 6 says, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Notice it doesn't say in this verse here, know ye that the Lord is a God. Know ye that the Lord is one of the gods. No, it says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. And I think about this as I was studying, what is a phrase that God used to show who he is? When he came to Abraham and he says, Abraham, I am. Have you ever tried to wrap your mind around that phrase? I am. When he tells Moses says, who am I supposed to tell him sent me? Moses says, tell him, I am sent you. How do you comprehend that? I am. There's so much wrapped up in that little phrase. But he is God. There is no question of his absolute sovereignty over all things. We look at Genesis chapter 46, verse 3. Again, he's talking to Jacob here. Jacob went down into Egypt. He says, in Genesis 46, 3, he says, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. He says, Jacob, I am God. You don't have to fear anything. I am God. We see in Isaiah 45, verse 22, Isaiah 45, 22, it says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. There is no one that is God, God alone. Isaiah 46, 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. We also show praise to him in this verse by seeking to know him, by being in his word daily to learn more about him. You know those things that each one of you have shared tonight that have shared a passage of scripture? That is something you learned about God in that passage. You saw God in that passage, and we can know more about by reading his word. Psalm 119, verse 125. Psalm 119, 125, it says, I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. And so we can know God in his word. What things do we need to know, or what things can we know about God? It says here in back in Psalm 100, it says, it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Here's clear proof for creation and against evolution. See, we see how God fashioned us in our mother's womb. Psalm 139, verses 14 through 16, it says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Let me read that so I don't mess it up here. Psalm 139, 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. You say God created man and Adam and Eve in the garden, but God has formed each one of us in our mother's womb. God has created each one of us the way he wants us to be, as Dave was talking about tonight. He designed the process of reproduction when he created Adam and Eve, and he allows that to continue, but he still forms each one of us as he wants us to be. You see, man had nothing to do with creation. Man wasn't there in the beginning when God created everything. Man didn't participate in it and say, well, God, I think we should do it this way. No, man didn't have any part of creation. He didn't decide how things were going to be designed. And he has no authority to disagree with the biblical record of how this universe came into existence. A man says, no, I don't think that's how it's done. Well, you're going to have to take it up with God, because God said that's how it's done and that's how it's done. We have no authority to argue that. It says also in that verse, we are his people. Because he has made us, he has all authority over us. He has every right to tell us how we should live, although he's not going to force us to do so. You see, God could have stopped Adam and Eve from eating the forbidden fruit in the garden, but he didn't, because he wanted them to obey him out of love. He wanted them to obey him willingly. We are his people, and when people watch us, and they do, it's amazing. You walk into the store, and we've seen this in different stores, even around here. We've been here for 3 years, or over 3 years now, and we see this as people. We walk into a store and say, how you doing? It's like, I've seen you before. Okay? Remember when we were in Montana, we'd go into Costco, and we'd been there several times, of course, and we'd walk in and say, where's the rest of your family? It's like, okay, people see us. People are watching. People are paying attention. They ought to see a difference between us and the world. They ought to see that we are God's people, that we're different. There's something about us that we can helps to point them to Christ. We are his people. And then it says the last part of the verse, you're the sheep of his pasture. What are sheep supposed to do? Eat? Well, yeah, they do. But they're supposed to follow the shepherd. And that's another way that we can praise him, by our obedience to him. And as a shepherd, he owns us, but he also guards us, and he provides for us. Psalm 95, verse 7 says, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. He is our God. He is our shepherd. And we need to act like sheep, and we need to follow him like sheep are supposed to. And then the fourth thing we see is in verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. I like the way one commentary put it, publicly worship God. And when you come into the house of prayer, be thankful that you have such a privilege. When you enter his courts, praise him for the permission. You think about Esther. And how she came before the king, not sure if she was going to even be spared her life because she wasn't asked to come into the king. But she came into the king, and the king raised his scepter to her. What can she do but be thankful? When we come into God's presence and he says, come, we can be thankful for that permission to come. When we have the opportunity to come to God's house, we need to remember what a privilege it is to be here. Psalm 42, verses 1 through 4 says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. And so we come not just because of the privilege of being here, but in thanksgiving for who he is and what he has done and what he continues to do in our lives. And so as we come into each service, we say, thank you, God, that I can come here. Thank you that I can be here and praise you for what you've done. And then verse 5, it says, for the Lord is good. In the last verse here, the psalmist speaks of God's character and those traits that we can praise and thank him for. The Lord is good. And the first one says, he is good. Psalm 107, verse 8. Says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And then Psalm 119, verse 68. Psalm 119:68 says, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. And we could attach this quality to everything that God is, everything that God does, everything that God allows in our lives, everything. We could attach this quality of his goodness because God is of the highest quality. He's of the highest benefit. He is of the highest goal. So God is good. Secondly, the psalmist says, his mercy is everlasting. Psalm 36, verse 5, several verses that talk about this, but we'll look at a couple here. Psalm 36, 5 says, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. And then Psalm 103, verse 17 says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. If you go to Psalm 136, and several of you probably read through that passage, at the end of every verse it says, for his mercy endureth forever. His mercy, it gives us a whole list demonstrating God's mercy. And then Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. His mercy is shown in his salvation. God's mercy is everlasting, meaning it will never be exhausted. You can never use it all up. His mercy is everlasting. And then it says, finally, his truth endureth to all generations. How is it that his truth endureth to all generations? John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, he is truth. And if he is eternal, his truth is eternal. His truth endureth to all generations. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1, 17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And though men may deny the accuracy of God's Word and live their lives as if there is no absolute standard to follow, God's word still stands as proof of the infallibility of God, and one day all men will be judged by its truth. His truth endureth to all generations. So we sing, we serve, we know, and we worship God in thanksgiving and praise because he is our loving master. He's our wonderful creator. He's our caring shepherd, and he's our everlasting God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time we've had together tonight to reflect on who you are, to look in your word, to share passages of scripture. Father, your word is so full that we cannot even begin to scratch the surface of all that we can learn from you about you. Father, help us to be in this word daily. Help us to grow in our knowledge of you, in our love for you, in our desire to serve you. We thank you for what you will do. Father, as we go through this week, as we have a day of thanksgiving on Thursday, I pray that you would be honored and glorified through that, and you would help us to be a testimony to those that come to our homes, whose homes we go to, of all the goodness that you have given in our lives. I pray that this week we might have opportunity to share the gospel with someone, that they too might know of your goodness in their lives. We thank you for what you will do in Jesus' name. Amen.